Major reforms to the general schedule are the solution for problems with federal hiring and promotion, according to new research from the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen. They are proposing reforms like cutting down to 5 pay scales instead of 15 and replacing tenure-based pay increases with performance-based ones. Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University, and Bob participated in a discussion today at the rollout of this new work from Booz Allen and the partnership. Bob, it's terrific to talk to you as always, my friend. There is a lot here, and you can read the whole thing at federalnewsradio.com. We have a link there to Building the Enterprise, a new civil service framework. And I think it's important to talk about it in that context from the beginning, Bob. This is a framework, a new framework, not just fixing what we already got. I mean, I don't know if that was their intention, but my perception as I read through this is they're talking about just ripping out what we have and starting over.
Well, I wouldn't say starting over, because the framework does build on merit principles. It does build on core values that would be unchanged, and there's much unchanged. But on the key issues of hiring and evaluations and performance pay, there is substantial change. And what they've done is created a, as was described, a framework, which means a basis for discussion. No one is saying this is a perfect solution, but it is a basis for having a discussion. Heretofore, there were a lot of patchwork proposed fixes and reaction. This is a total approach that, in my view, is the most thoughtful piece of work that's been done since 1978, when the Civil Service Reform Act was enacted.
There's a lot here that we could talk about, but I want to focus on a couple of things because they fit right in your wheelhouse of expertise, Bob. One of them is the concept that I mentioned in the introduction, that we take the general schedule and chop it down to 5. I take your point that there are some things that will stay the same in the system, but when you talk about going from GS 1 through 15 to 5 pay scales, that to me is a really significant possibility of change there.
It really applies to the administrative and professional workforce, not all employees, and that's about 60% of the workforce. Those who are not professional and technical would stay on the general schedule. And the idea is to create 5 levels and identify the kind of work that people do, so that, and then fit them on one of those scales, which makes a lot of sense. Anybody who's ever been involved in a classification action can't figure it out. I've been around a long time, and I still refer to it as the black box of moving someone from a... and if I can't understand it, and I'm an employee who can't understand it, I don't like it. Anybody who's asked about a classifying approach doesn't like it, and it was created in 1949. So, as was pointed out, in 1949, gas was 18 cents a gallon. A lot has happened since 1949. We need a new system of classification.
I think your observation, if I can't understand it, I don't like it, applies a lot of places across the HR structure of the federal government. One of those places is in performance management and measurement. We saw that with the National Security Personnel System. We've seen it with other systems that have been called pay for performance across the government. Now, one of the recommendations in this work, and one of the things you talked about at this event today, here's the recommendation out of their work. Improving today's performance management system by ensuring that supervisors and managers have the skills necessary for it to work, and making it consequential by awarding above-market base pay raises only to those employees and managers who perform above expectations, and no pay increases to those whose performance is unsatisfactory. Now, I on the surface, that sounds extremely desirable. And I recognize that there's a hunger for that kind of system across the federal government. How do you go about making that fit with some of the things, some of the places where performance management has struggled in government in the past?
Well, one of the different approaches here is that if someone started at the lowest end of whatever that scale is, they would proceed with 3% pay increases, pretty much equivalent to within grade increases, based on satisfactory performance until they get to the market rate pay. Once they get to the market rate pay, then exceeds performance is required to get additional pay increases. So people get to the market rate pay, which was not the case under the National Security Personnel System. And then performance determines whether you get an additional. And in what was proposed, there's no limit on those who could get that. So under the NSPS, there were methodologies for curtailing how many people would get paid. So I think that's a kind of an interesting response. Of course, that would depend on how accurately you measured market rate pay and where you set it on that area. So the devil's in the details, but conceptually, it solves a lot of the problems that were present with NSPS.
All right. Talking about market rate pay, Bob, this recommendation around pay rates calls for adopting an occupation-specific, market-sensitive system for professional administrative jobs and administrative jobs, excuse me, that takes into account total compensation roughly comparable to what's offered by major private sector employers as well as state and local governments. This system would account for geographic differences in salaries and levels of responsibility. That's been just almost impossible, if not completely impossible, for all the various stakeholders involved in this discussion to agree on, because you have studies that say that federal employees are anywhere from overpaid by 30-some percent to underpaid by 30-some percent. And the reality that I seem to find by asking folks is all of them could be true depending on the job you look at.
Well, this you described a very contentious, very difficult issue. And if I'm looking for certainty, I'm never going to find it. So the discussion that the partnership in Booz Allen envisioned would be, okay, if we can't have certainty, what can we agree on a methodology for survey that we could all agree upon? There's never been that kind of a discussion, Francis. It's always been, no, I don't want to do it. And the reason is there isn't trust by unions about what Congress might do if they said, okay, we're ready to consider abandoning the current system, what Congress might do. There isn't trust between the administration and Congress. And so until the three-legged stool of stakeholders, mainly unions, administration, and Congress agree on a way forward, there won't be legislation. But this discussion, this draft might form the basis of creating the kind of agreement that would allow this to go forward. And one reason I think that it might have a shot is that good government is really a bipartisan issue. Doesn't matter whether you want large government or small government. Good government, you got to have good government with the employees that you have. And this approach would be almost revenue neutral. There might be some increases, but it's pretty much revenue neutral. So you don't have the budget impact, and you might be able to get a bipartisan group to lead this kind of an effort.
I wish I shared your optimism about it. I don't disagree with you about this being a bipartisan issue, because we could sit down and identify members of Congress on both sides of the aisle that care about this. My fear, Bob, is that we can't identify enough of them to be able to move this forward, to be able to get something done about it the way the Congress is made up right now.
I think, I share your fear. I share your fear. But here's what we haven't had before. We haven't had a total approach for discussion purposes. Now we have one.
You were at the rollout of this morning, participated in a panel discussion, as I mentioned. What was your prime takeaway from the other discussants, from the questions that you got from the audience, from the overall participation that you saw this morning, Bob?
Skepticism, worry, can it happen? But, we've been living in a desert for a long time here, Francis, wandering around in the desert with no direction. This might be an oasis where we can, we can share some water and maybe get a way forward. There isn't any guarantee. There's never any guarantee, but there is possibility now where none existed before.
What is your sense of the response from some of the stakeholders that you talked about? What are the unions saying about this? Anybody from Congress at this event today? Any staff members? Anything like that? Any of that?
Former Senator Kaufman from Delaware.
Yes.
Was there? He thinks it's doable. But that's easy for somebody who's a former senator, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. To his credit, though, Senator Kaufman, before he was Senator Kaufman, was, I believe, chief of staff for Senator Biden, who is now, of course, the vice president of the United States. And Senator Kaufman and Chief of Staff Kaufman spent a lot of time on issues regarding the federal government. So he's not an amateur at this. He certainly knows the ins and outs of the United States Senate and federal employee issues. So as hesitant as I am to get enthusiastic about change when it comes to this, I certainly wouldn't discount his sentiment.
And then there was a former assistant secretary for management at education, who's now in the private sector, who said that he thought that this is something that the private sector might support because of the fact that it is revenue neutral. Everybody wants wants the federal government to be able to attract better employees and keep them. So he thought that there might be support from the private sector.
It will be interesting to watch this play out, Bob, and I thank you for coming on and talk about what you saw and what you think, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Frank.